is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from F.W. Houston Medical Center 24/7 Walk-In Clinic, serving the healthcare needs of the Jefferson County area no matter the time of day. More information at 913-774-4340.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence and 85 in Manhattan. It's 6:06.
This is All Things.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. We still have about another 42 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. News headlines coming your way at 6:30. Then Hurricane Beryl knocked out power for millions of people in Houston. The city's former mayor says they need to prepare a little bit better for future storms. It's kind of an understatement.
That's the responsibility of the state. It's the responsibility of the utilities. It's the responsibility of the city. All of the parties have a role to play.
That's not how it turned out here in the last couple of weeks. Angry residents now really want some answers. We'll learn about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, featuring a wide selection of perennials, trees, shrubs, growing supplies, and gardening advice since 1962. Open 7 days a week in North Lawrence. More information at pinesgardenmarket.com.
I want to remind you, special event tonight down at Liberty Hall in Lawrence. It's our most recent installment of Cinema A Go-Go. Happens tonight. Doors are opening in just about 10 minutes. Basically, it's like a night at Red Lobster gone horribly, horribly wrong. Two Roger Corman movies tonight, a double feature of Roger Corman. Can't beat that. Attack of the Crab Monsters. You know, pretty self-explanatory. And Swamp Women. Also kind of self-explanatory. It's at 7 o'clock tonight is when they will start the films. But again, doors opening at 6:30. Details at kansaspublicradio.org. Come hang out with us. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence. It's 6:20.
Support for NPR comes from...
This is NPR News.
In 2016, a book that offered a bleak portrait of Appalachian culture and life for poor white Americans became a hit. And over the past 8 years, as its author, J.D. Vance, ascended to the U.S. Senate and now the second-place spot on the Republican ticket, many people from the region have a lot to say about the picture he painted. We look back at Hillbilly Elegy on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, providing access to news, information, and the arts for people who are blind or visually impaired across Kansas, Missouri, and nationwide. Learn how you can make an impact at reader.ku.edu.
Stay with us. News headlines are up next. It's 85 degrees in Manhattan, 85 in Emporia. The time is 6:30.
Potential service disruptions and restore service to our system as soon as possible.
Long lines formed at airports in the U.S., Europe, and Asia after airlines lost access to check-in and booking services. Some hospitals and doctor's offices had to cancel appointments. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Well, as Duane was just saying, there was a worldwide computer outage that started early this morning, but operations have now resumed at the Kansas City airport. Emma Flannery reports.
Travelers with early morning departures showed up to the airport to find their plans upended by a defective Microsoft update that knocked computer systems offline. Over 70 flights at KCI were delayed by several hours or canceled altogether. By the afternoon, Microsoft started restoring service and KCI officials said flight operations began to stabilize. Inside the airport, check-in lines stretched all the way to the entrances as dozens of passengers sat on the floor surrounded by luggage. Airport officials recommend anyone flying check their flight status directly with their airline. I'm Emma Flannery.
Kansas lawmakers are hoping to tap into a federal program to help fund several infrastructure projects around the state. Daniel Caudill has more.
The program uses state and federal dollars to pay for projects like railway improvements, new storm sirens and shelters, and efforts to make cities more walkable. Local governments apply for funding through the state, then Kansas lawmakers determine whether to okay the application and send it to the feds for final approval. Matthew Voltz with the Kansas Infrastructure Hub says the federal grant program often has more applicants than it can provide for.
It's like a batting average, really. I mean, if you're batting 300 to 400, that's really good in this field of grant writing.
At their most recent meeting, lawmakers who oversee the program advanced several applications that amount to tens of millions of dollars. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudill at the State House.
Many Southwest Kansas communities have struggled to keep their hospitals staffed, in part because they're geographically isolated. But student doctors from the Kansas College of Osteopathic Medicine are immersing themselves in rural Kansas communities this summer. Students started in Dodge City to shadow healthcare professionals and learn about rural communities. Program officials hope these students might consider practicing there after graduation. For student doctor Dina Suaznabar, there were some upsides to visiting Common Spirit Hospital in Dodge City as she watched over the ICU.
You see more diversity of things in terms of patient care. And I feel like here you get that training like all at once in a quicker dynamic versus other places.
Students will be heading to Garden City next to see the unique qualities of practicing medicine in western Kansas. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, partly cloudy skies this evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny with a slight chance of rain, highs around 80 degrees. There is a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night. Should be quite humid with lows in the mid-60s. For Sunday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny, 60% chance of showers and storms with a high in the upper 70s. This is KPR.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we're talking about what you're talking about.
Beyonce is not only revealing black cowboy culture, she's transforming country music forever.
Trying to understand the world.
What does this ceasefire proposal say?
And sometimes, annoying Jerry Seinfeld.
Are you seriously asking that?
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m., a terrific way to start off your day with the latest news from around the world, around the nation, and around the region. Jay Schaefer will be your local host on Monday.
Support for KPR comes from First Presbyterian Church at 2415 Clinton Parkway, Lawrence, with in-person services every Sunday at 10:30 or virtually on YouTube. Information at firstpreslawrence.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia, 99.5 FM in Manhattan. Many other frequencies scattered around the state listed for you conveniently at kansaspublicradio.org, where you can cut out the middleman and just stream us as well, or you can use the KPR app.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, celebrating 90 years of smiles, memories, wildlife conservation, and education. Open daily from 9 to 5. Calendar of events and ticket information is found at topekazoo.org.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, mostly cloudy skies late tonight, lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny with a slight chance of rain. Highs tomorrow around 80 degrees, 50% chance of showers and storms tomorrow night, and very humid. Lows down in the mid-60s, 60% chance of showers and storms on Sunday. Continued humid, highs in the upper 70s. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Getting people to the movie theaters.
I guess big, loud tornadoes is a good argument for going to a movie theater.
I hope so.
That's Lee Isaac Chung, director of Twisters, in theaters now. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from Fisher Investments, Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org. From BritBox, dedicated to helping people discover British crime series, including new seasons of Silent Witness, Blue Lights, and The Responder starring Martin Freeman. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. And from listeners like you, who donate to this NPR station.
Hi, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv, Ukraine. Wherever the story takes us, NPR does whatever it takes to get the story right. This is NPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU, HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH, HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV, HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ, Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Cider Gallery, a unique gallery space featuring works by local and regional artists, open Fridays, 1 to 5, and by appointment. Details at cidergallery.com.
Stay tuned tonight on KPR's Film Music Friday. It's composer Max Steiner, often called the father of film music. We'll hear example of his work on classic films like The Informer, Gone with the Wind, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, and many, many others. There are a lot to choose from, like the one we're hearing in the background right now, Since You Went Away. Daryl Brogdon is your host for Film Music Friday, coming up immediately following the news and star dates.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982 with a variety of environmental services from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, mostly cloudy after midnight with lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, but clearing out a bit in the afternoon. We do have a chance of rain tomorrow during the day with highs around 80.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. More than 30 congressional Democrats are urging President Biden to drop his bid for re-election. Biden has so far resisted those calls, claiming that he's the only candidate who can beat Republican Donald Trump in November. NPR's Deepa Shivaram reports the president is recovering from a case of COVID at his home in Delaware, but is gearing up to return to the campaign trail next week.
The president's doctor, Kevin O'Connor, says Biden has completed his fourth dose of Paxlovid. Biden continues to have a cough and hoarseness, which are his primary symptoms, but they've improved since yesterday, his doctor said. A PCR test on Thursday confirmed Biden has COVID, but they're still identifying what variant he has. Other elements of the president's health, including his pulse, blood pressure, respiratory rate, and blood count, are all normal. Biden's diagnosis has fueled further speculation on if he'll stay at the top of the Democratic ticket as voters, donors, and lawmakers continue to express concern on the president's ability to beat Trump in November. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News for Hobbit Beach, Delaware.
The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled to halt President Biden's recent student debt relief plan. NPR's Sequoia Carrillo reports the decision now puts the program on hold.
A judge in Missouri has ruled to halt the SAVE plan, the Biden administration's revamped income-driven repayment plan for student loan borrowers. The ruling is the latest in a string of legal battles over the program. While the ruling means the program is on pause, borrowers won't see a change in their loan payments just yet. The Education Department has put borrowers enrolled in the program in forbearance until the litigation comes to an end. Experts say the next step in the legal process could be in a matter of days or weeks. The court's timing is still a big unknown. Sequoia Carrillo, NPR News.
Businesses and government services around the world are scrambling to recover from a massive technology outage today. NPR's Jenna McLaughlin reports the cybersecurity company CrowdStrike says it launched a faulty software update overnight to computers running Microsoft Windows.
Companies push out software updates all the time for lots of different reasons, whether it's a security update, a new feature. In this case, CrowdStrike says it was a minor content update for Windows hosts. There was something wrong with that update. We don't know exactly what. But ultimately, that means everyone using CrowdStrike software who are running Microsoft Windows got that blue screen of death today. CrowdStrike says this was not a cyber attack, but a mistake in code.
That's NPR's Jenna McLaughlin reporting. Stocks closed lower on Wall Street today. The Dow was down 377 points. This is NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 in Junction City, streaming online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Stardate July 19th. The human eye is tuned to a narrow band of wavelengths, visible light. But the electromagnetic spectrum extends far beyond our ability to see, from radio waves to gamma rays. Each slice of the spectrum tells us different things about the universe. Consider X-rays. We're most familiar with them in medical settings, but many astronomical objects produce their own X-rays, allowing astronomers to diagnose their details. The list includes many types of stars. Many stars have hot X-ray producing outer atmospheres. Stars also generate big eruptions known as flares. Studying these events tells us more about how stars age and how they interact with the universe around them. X-rays are especially common in some of the most violent objects and events in the universe. Exploding stars heat their environment to millions of degrees, producing X-rays galore. And disks of hot gas around black holes are also X-ray sources. The X-rays can reveal the amount of gas, the size of the disk, and how fast the gas is moving. There's one problem, though. Earth's atmosphere absorbs X-rays. So astronomers loft their telescopes as high as possible. They've used rockets, balloons, and a rocket-balloon combination called a Raccoon. But most of what we know about the X-ray sky came from space telescopes. The largest and most powerful X-ray telescope to date was launched 25 years ago next week, and we'll talk about that on Monday. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's music by Max Steiner for the movie Now Voyager, 1942, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to the show where we celebrate the music of the movies. And tonight, it's a man who's often called the father of film music, Max Steiner. He began working in films not long after movies began to talk, and his career stretched into the mid-1960s. Along with composers like Dmitri Tiomkin, Franz Waxman, Bernard Herrmann, and others, he helped to create the language and the tradition of film music. And tonight, we'll hear excerpts from many of Max Steiner's greatest scores, including Gone with the Wind, Casablanca, and The Adventures of Don Juan. Max Steiner was born in what was then Austria-Hungary, and by all accounts was something of a musical wunderkind. He conducted an operetta at the age of 12, by which time he was already attempting to write music. During the early part of the 20th century, he wrote for the Viennese Theater, and by 1914, he was in New York, arriving with $23 in his pocket and seeking employment on Broadway, where he worked for 15 years as a musical director and conductor. In 1929, he headed west to Hollywood and began to write music for films. Movie music in those days was limited. According to Max Steiner himself, the studios thought audiences would find it distracting.
In those days, we did not use any music as underscoring. Unless you saw the source, unless there was an orchestra portrayed on the screen, or a piano, or a harpsichord, or an organ, or what have you, people said, you can't use music, because people would say, where's the music coming from?
Max Steiner's breakthrough film is considered to be King Kong in 1933. Here, music was an integral part of the movie. Steiner built the score based on the idea of the leitmotif, where a constantly recurring musical phrase is associated with a particular person, a place, or an idea. That was a technique that was familiar in opera at the time, but new for motion pictures. Here is some of Max Steiner's music for King Kong, 1933, on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. some of the music that Max Steiner created for King Kong, 1933, here on KPR. Steiner once said this movie was made for music, and there's no question it helped to establish the young composer in Hollywood. Tonight, on Film Music Friday, we are hearing the music of Max Steiner, known sometimes as the father of film music. Still to come, music for Gone with the Wind. Max Steiner won his first Academy Award for John Ford's The Informer in 1935, the story of an IRA soldier who betrays his comrades and then pays the price. Steiner wrote the score while the film was still in production, actually synchronizing the music to the action and vice versa. The score for The Informer is comprised of many different themes for the various characters and situations. So here's a sample of Max Steiner's score for The Informer on KPR.
Thank you. That's Max Steiner conducting his score for The Informer, 1935, a score that won Steiner his first Academy Award. And you've heard it on KPR's Film Music Friday. More from Max Steiner's up ahead, including one of the many Westerns for which he wrote the music.
Find out what issues are important to voters in the upcoming election in an NPR News special, We the Voters. That's Monday on KPR2. We'll also hear new interviews examining the candidates' records and how voters' opinions have evolved over time. That's on We the Voters, Monday night at 7 on all KPR2 stations.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. From 1935, that's music for a fencing demonstration in The Three Musketeers, music by Max Steiner here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Of course, the story's been filmed many times. This was one of the less successful adaptations of Alexander Dumas' story, and Max Steiner must have realized it needed all the help it could get. That's the Brandenburg Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Richard Kaufman, here on KPR. Tonight on Film Music Friday, the father of film music, Max Steiner, and some of the most famous themes he wrote for the cinema. Still to come, the theme from Virginia City, an all-star western with Errol Flynn, right before the top of the hour.
Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Probably the most famous film music by Max Steiner is the massive score he created for Gone with the Wind in 1939. It's one of the longest film scores ever, with 16 main themes and 300 individual pieces of music. Think about that. The film, of course, won a ton of Academy Awards in almost every major category, with two notable exceptions, Clark Gable for Best Actor and Max Steiner for Best Score. Here's music from Gone with the Wind by Max Steiner on KPR's Film Music Friday. Well, even though Max Steiner failed to win the Oscar for Gone with the Wind, his music for that film is considered one of his finest achievements. We just heard the London Sinfonia performing excerpts from Gone with the Wind, including the famous Taras theme, here on KPR. I'm Daryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday. Thank you for being here tonight as we celebrate the music and the work, the life of Max Steiner, whose career stretched almost from the beginning of talking pictures into the mid-1960s. Up ahead, there's news from NPR at 8:01.
Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Greenland, Kansas City Jazz Music Cocktails, Wine and Beer. Live Kansas City Jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Remember, you can listen to Film Music Friday on demand at the KPR website and on our free app. Online, just go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Music, and you'll find Film Music Friday. And if you're using the handy KPR app, you can stream it right to your smartphone. Just check in the on-demand section. Details available at kansaspublicradio.org. Max Steiner wrote music for every kind of movie, romances, horror films, adventures, and of course, westerns. In fact, his first full film score was for Cimarron in 1931. In 1940, he composed what we just heard, the theme for Virginia City.
From the University of Kansas, KPR's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. NPR News is next. The second half of Film Music Friday just ahead.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is bringing his campaign to the key state of Michigan tomorrow. Trump and his vice presidential running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, will rally supporters in Grand Rapids. This will be Trump's first campaign rally since the assassination attempt against him last weekend in Pennsylvania. The director of the Secret Service is expected to testify on Capitol Hill next week. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports lawmakers on the House Oversight Committee are demanding answers following the attempt on Trump's life.
Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle's appearance Monday before the House Oversight Committee will be just 9 days after a gunman tried to kill former President Trump at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. The panel's Republican chairman, James Comer, says Americans are demanding answers from Cheadle about what Comer calls the historic security failures at the rally that day. That includes how a gunman was able to get onto a roof with a clear line of sight on the former president. Questions also have been raised after it emerged that the Secret Service knew about a threat before Trump took the stage that day, but still allowed him to go out and speak. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Officials on Maui have approved an agreement that would settle lawsuits filed by thousands of residents and businesses following last year's destructive wildfires. NPR's Greg Allen reports the details of the settlement have not been made public.
Bloomberg News is reporting that the defendants have agreed to pay more than $4 billion to resolve claims related to the wildfires that killed more than 100 people and destroyed more than 2,000 structures in and around Lahaina. Along with the county and state, the settlement would resolve claims against Hawaiian Electric, whose downed power lines have been blamed for the fires. The company said a downed power line started a fire on August 8th, but by mid-morning, that fire was completely extinguished. It's still unclear whether the plaintiffs will agree to the settlement. Greg Allen, NPR News.
A Russian court has sentenced Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich to 16 years in prison for espionage. NPR's Charles Maines reports Gershkovich, the Journal, and the U.S. government strongly deny the allegations.
Evan Gershkovich had just two court hearings, both held in secret, before a Russian judge found him guilty of the spying charges. Prosecutors claim Gershkovich had tried to obtain information about a Russian tank factory for the CIA. Gershkovich, the Wall Street Journal, and the U.S. government all vehemently deny that charge. They also note that Gershkovich was on a reporting assignment with official accreditation from Russia's foreign ministry at the time of his arrest in March of last year. The guilty verdict was never in doubt. Nearly all Russian criminal cases end in conviction. Yet the unusual speed of the proceedings will fuel speculation that the U.S. and Russia are closing in on a potential prisoner swap. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. From the University of Kansas, this is the place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday. Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 90.3 Chanute.
Max Steiner's main title for Charge of the Light Brigade, 1936, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This was Steiner's first film for Warner Brothers, and it led to a contract that spanned almost 30 years and a body of work that established Max Steiner as one of the masters of film composition. Tonight on Film Music Friday, we're hearing music by Max Steiner. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and thank you for being here. In this hour, The Treasurer of the Sierra Madre, The Adventures of Don Juan, and Johnny Belinda. Max Steiner was nominated 20 times for the Academy Award, and he took the prize home twice. Along with composers like Eric Korngold and Alfred Newman, he set the style and the shape of film music during the golden age of Hollywood and for years after. In the early 40s, Steiner was brought aboard the production of Casablanca at Warner Brothers. The movie was based on an unproduced play called Everybody Comes to Rick's. The song As Time Goes By was part of the story from that original play. And the story goes that Max Steiner didn't care much for the song and instead wanted to write his own tune to replace it. Well, the studio wasn't having it, however, but Steiner did a masterful job of weaving As Time Goes By, as well as the French anthem La Marseillaise, into his score for the film. Here's music from Casablanca by Max Steiner, the National Philharmonic Orchestra, is conducted by Charles Gerhardt on KPR's Film Music Friday. That's a suite drawn from Max Steiner's score for the movie Casablanca on KPR's Film Music Friday. Coming up, another Bogart film, this time The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. In 1938, Max Steiner wrote the score for a movie called Four Daughters, about a musical family and their various romantic tribulations. The movie was a hit and spawned a sequel, Four Wives, in 1940. For that one, Steiner took a melody that he'd created for the first film, expanded and orchestrated it into what came to be called Symphonie Moderne, which was popular enough that it was published in 1941. From Four Wives, here's the Symphonie Moderne with Earl Wilde at the piano on Kansas Public Radio. National Philharmonic Orchestra, led by Charles Gerhardt, featuring pianist Earl Wilde, and the Symphonie Moderne by Max Steiner on KPR's Film Music Friday. It grew out of a melody that Max Steiner wrote for the film Four Daughters in 1938, originally as a tune that was played on the piano in the movie by John Garfield. For the sequel, Four Wives, in 1940, Steiner expanded the music into a short concert piece. This is Film Music Friday, where we celebrate the music of the movies every week on Kansas Public Radio stations. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Tonight, Max Steiner in the spotlight. More than any other composer at the time, perhaps, it was Steiner who made people realize the role that music can play in establishing a picture's sense of spectacle. And it was Steiner who established the rules of the game in almost every type of movie he touched. Later in the hour, magnificent music to accompany a tale of gold prospectors and greed in Mexico, the treasure of the Sierra Madre. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or just tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. No matter how you get your news of the day, whether it's in your car, at the office, at home, or on the go, your support ensures that KPR will always be your place for news about the things that really matter to you, whether they occur around the globe or down the street. KPR never lets up in its commitment to serve our listeners because you matter. Make a difference. Donate now at kansaspublicradio.org. Max Steiner's music for the movie Johnny Belinda, made in 1948 here on KPR. That's another Steiner score that was nominated for an Oscar. The film stars Jane Wyman, who did win an Oscar for her role in this film, as a deaf-mute girl and deals with the consequences of spreading lies and rumors in a tightly knit farming community. Max Steiner returns to The Swashbuckler with the adventures of Don Juan, Errol Flynn's last big studio adventure, later in this hour.
We are the Federales. You know, the mountain police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
One of the greatest movie lines ever, don't you think? From John Huston's epic, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, 1948. It's a story of three drifters who go prospecting for gold in the wild Sierra Madre Mountains of Mexico. But really, it's a parable about human nature and the deadly effect of greed. Humphrey Bogart, Tim Holtz, and Walter Huston in an Oscar-winning performance take on the mountains, the bandits, and each other, accompanied by the wonderful mood-setting music of Max Steiner. Here's music from Treasure of the Sierra Madre on Kansas Public Radio. From Treasure of the Sierra Madre, Max Steiner's powerful music played by the National Philharmonic Orchestra on KPR and Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and later in this hour, a couple of unexpected treats from the pen of Max Steiner, including a top 40 hit, which he enjoyed late in his career. You know, in all those years Max Steiner worked for Warner Brothers, he had a chance to write music for every kind of movie, westerns, horror films, romance, swashbucklers. In fact, it was for Errol Flynn's Adventures of Don Juan in 1948 that he contributed a score that's one of his most memorable. This was in the same year as Treasure of the Sierra Madre. And for this one, Steiner was a replacement for Eric Wolfgang Korngold, who was originally assigned to the picture but decided to retire from film work instead. This is everything you'd expect for an Errol Flynn swashbuckler: comedy, intrigue, romance, and adventure. The Adventures of Don Juan, 1948, on KPR's Film Music Friday.
We'll be right back.
some of Max Steiner's music for The Adventures of Don Juan, played by the Moscow Symphony Orchestra, probably Errol Flynn's last great swashbuckling adventure film from 1948 and here on Kansas Public Radio. You know, it's interesting. Years later, Max Steiner's music for this film was adapted for the movie Zorro the Gay Blade, starring George Hamilton, and also appears in The Goonies in 1985. In a minute, we'll hear a late-career pop hit written by Max Steiner, and there's news from National Public Radio coming your way at 9:01. Remember, you can hear Film Music Friday on demand in a couple of ways at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Just click on Music, and then you'll find the Film Music Friday page where you can stream the show on demand. Also, if you use our free app, Film Music Friday is part of the on-demand offerings, where you can stream it right to your smartphone. Details about all this at kansaspublicradio.org. Just a little extra treat I thought I'd include on tonight's Film Music Friday. Max Steiner somehow was called upon to write the music for The House of Wax. Not the movie exactly, but for the trailer for the coming attractions preview. Not sure how often that happens. It's only 2 minutes long, but there it is nonetheless. I'm Darryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday on KPR. Tonight, we've been hearing the music of Max Steiner, the man often considered the father of film music. He began his movie career not long after Talking Pictures arrived, and he continued to write for the screen into the mid-1960s. By then, Steiner was nearly blind, and his health was declining, though by all accounts he was eager to continue writing music for films. He reportedly wrote an autobiography in 1963, though it's never been published. I imagine that would be a great read for movie buffs. Max Steiner wrote his last film score in 1965 for a Disney film called Those Calloways. Opportunities to work were fewer in those days, as Steiner's music was sadly considered old-fashioned by Hollywood's new generation. He died in 1971, having written some of the greatest film music ever, which, fortunately, we can still enjoy today.
Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Finally, let's hear something that Max Steiner wrote late in his career, something that went on to become a number one hit on the Billboard pop chart. The movie And the tune was called A Summer Place, a kind of overblown romantic drama in which Hollywood seemed to specialize in the sexually repressed 1950s. This wasn't even the main theme in the film. Instead, it's a secondary theme for the teenage lovers, played by Sandra Dee and Troy Donahue. Max Steiner's A Summer Place on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Karen Chi, filling in for Peter Sagal. On this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we'll discuss who's running for president and talk to Olympic gold medalist Allison Felix about actual running. Race to join us on this week's news quiz from NPR.
That's tomorrow morning at 10. You're on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on After the Harvest, introducing UPP, or Urban Produce Push, with a goal to provide produce to the people and pantries in every corner of Kansas City. Details and how to help at aftertheharvestkc.org. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Biden is facing a fresh round of Democratic calls to drop his bid for a second term in office. NPR's Asma Khalid reports the Biden reelection campaign has acknowledged that it's been a tough few weeks for the president, but that he's absolutely staying in the race.
Biden's campaign manager, Jen O'Malley-Dillon, told MSNBC in an interview that Biden's campaign has seen some slippage in support, but it's been small.
People are not moving from Joe Biden to Donald Trump. What they're doing is they're saying to us, can he do it? And the president's saying, yes, I can.
She said Biden will be back on the campaign trail next week. Also, in recent days, a group of some 1,400 black women leaders issued a public letter saying they firmly stand behind Biden's nomination and think replacing him is undemocratic and disrespectful to the millions of people who voted for him in the primaries. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken appears optimistic about a ceasefire in Gaza, as Israel's prime minister prepares for a trip to Washington, D.C. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports the U.S. has been working with Arab allies on an agreement for weeks.
Speaking at the Aspen Security Forum to NPR's Mary Louise Kelly, Secretary Blinken uses a football analogy to describe the state of play in Middle East diplomacy.
I believe we're inside the 10-yard line and driving toward the goal line and getting an agreement that would produce a ceasefire, get the hostages home, and put us on a better track to trying to build lasting peace and stability.
Blinken says Israel and Hamas have agreed on a framework of a deal already endorsed by the UN Security Council, but he says there are still talks on some critical details, and he says the last 10 yards are often the hardest. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Businesses and government services around the world are scrambling to recover from a massive technology outage today. NPR's Jenna McLaughlin reports the cybersecurity company CrowdStrike says it launched a faulty software update overnight to computers running Microsoft Windows.
Companies push out software updates all the time for lots of different reasons, whether it's a security update, a new feature. In this case, CrowdStrike says it was a minor content update for Windows hosts. There was something wrong with that update. We don't know exactly what. But ultimately, that means everyone using CrowdStrike software who are running Microsoft Windows got that blue screen of death today. CrowdStrike says this was not a cyber attack, but a mistake in code.
That's NPR's Jenna McLaughlin reporting. Stocks closed lower today on Wall Street. The Dow was down 377 points. The Nasdaq fell 144. This is NPR News in Washington. The Treasury Department says it's concerned about a new law in Florida that restricts banks from considering environmental, social, and other non-financial factors in making investments. NPR's Greg Allen reports Treasury officials say the restrictions may hurt efforts to combat money laundering and terrorism.
In a letter sent to members of Congress, the Treasury Department says a Florida law and a similar one in Tennessee make it harder for financial institutions to guard against illegal activity that could harm national security. A law signed in May by Governor Ron DeSantis says it's a, quote, unsafe and unsound practice for banks to consider non-quantitative factors in making investment decisions. The measure also says a financial institution can't look at a person's affiliations or business sector. The Treasury Department says those regulations undermine a bank's ability to comply with anti-terrorism and money laundering regulations. DeSantis has said the law is necessary to protect access to the financial sector for businesses, including firearms and private prison companies. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
Authorities say at least three people are dead and more than 40 others are missing after a boat caught fire off the coast of northern Haiti. Officials say the migrants were trying to escape to the Turks and Caicos Islands. An increase in gang violence continues to grip Haiti, causing many people to flee the island. The highly infectious poliovirus has been found in six sewage samples in Gaza. Officials say there are no known cases at this time, but a risk assessment is underway. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
Thank you.
Organist Brian Ho's trio kicking things off tonight on KPR's Jazz in the Night with the Bud Powell tune, John's Abbey. The new album's called Bridges. Brian Ho with guitarist Paul Ballenbach and drummer Byron Wookie Landham. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night. In about 8 minutes, we'll hear singer Lisa Rich from her new album and her version of Close Your Eyes. We've also got alto saxophonist Charles McPherson on the way. And, of course, our jazz album of the week we'll be hearing from this hour and each hour tonight from the Brazilian pianist and arranger Antonio Adolfo. But right now, tenor saxophonist Ernie Watts, Unity, the name of this album that came out in the mid-90s, and the Oscar Pettiford tune, Trinketism, on KPR.